Good. Okay, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Am I making echoes?
Somewhere.
Nate, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza.
Here.
Councilmember Christensen.
Here.
Councilmember Laraway.
Present.
Council President McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, first item is the consent agenda. Any questions, comments, or motion to approve? Anything you want pulled for discussion?
Mayor, I've got one. I think Bobby can probably answer it. There was a fence repair of 1668 over at the dog run. I see a hand over there, so... Was it a repair of the fence, Bobby, or did we add to it?
Mayor, sorry, for the record, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director. We are fixing the chain link that is going around it. It's approximately, I think, 850 feet that we're replacing over there.
Did you say replacing?
Yes.
It was damaged?
Yes.
Okay.
We have had some vandalism over there right after we put it in, and then just your normal wear and tear. Mowers actually accidentally hitting it. Dogs going underneath it, curling it up. So.
Okay. Thanks, Bobby. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay.
Okay. Then if nothing else, I would move we approve the consent agenda.
Second. Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Nate, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. We have a couple of proclamations. First is the Grange Month proclamation that we do every year. I'll read that. Whereas social interaction and educational efforts are the keystones that have allowed great achievements in nonpartisan legislative action and much needed service projects of the Grange, which have benefited the communities and states in which our members reside. And whereas the Grange has played a major role in the development of rural America, three centuries advocating for legislative protection for farmers through Granger laws in the 1800s, promoting research and education to improve agriculture through the Cooperative Extension Service and land-grant colleges, and working to expand mail delivery and electricity to rural areas in the 1900s, and encouraging the expansion of broadband internet service in the 2000s. And the Grange has remained true to the ideal of developing a better and higher manhood and womanhood to ensure that each member is given the opportunity to rise to their full potential as leaders, as Americans, and as contributing part of mankind. And whereas the Grange includes all members of the family within their organization to meet, talk, work, and in general act together for their mutual protection and advancement, and whereas the Grange emphasizes civic responsibility and the involvement of people in the legislative process, and whereas the Grange will celebrate 109 years of service to our city on May 11, 2019, they welcome all those who desire to make a positive difference in the lives of those around them and recognize that the doors of the Cuna Grange number 59 in Cuna, Idaho, are open to all seeking to improve our city and state through open discussion, civility towards those who may differ, and grow as a person. And whereas the values of the Grange are needed by America now more than ever, now therefore be it resolved that I, Joe Steer, Mayor of the City of Cuna, Idaho, hereby proclaim April 2019 to be Grange Month in the City of Cuna, Ada County, State of Idaho. And then we have a Fair Housing Month proclamation. Whereas April 2021 marks the 53rd anniversary of the passage of Title VIII, the Civil Rights Act of 1968, commonly known as the Fair Housing Act, and whereas Idaho Human Rights Commission Act has prohibited discrimination in housing since 1969, and whereas equal opportunity for all, regardless of race, color, religion, sex, disability, familial status, and national origin, is a fundamental goal of our nation, state, and city. And whereas equal access to housing is an important component of this goal, as fundamental as the right to equal education and employment. And whereas housing is a critical component of the family and community health and stability. And whereas housing choice impacts our children's access to education, our ability to seek and retain employment options, the cultural benefits we enjoy, the extent of our exposure to crime and drugs, the quality of health care we receive in emergencies, and whereas the laws of this nation and our state seek to ensure such equality of choice for all transactions involving housing, and whereas ongoing education outreach and monitoring are key to raising awareness of fair housing principles, practices, rights, and responsibilities, and whereas not only continued cooperation, commitment, and support of all Idahoans can bear to fair housing be removed. Now, therefore, I, Joe Steer, Mayor of the City of Cuna, Ada County, do hereby proclaim April 2021 to be Fair Housing Month. All right, that leads us into public hearings. This is a continued public hearing item from March 2nd, 2021, continued from March 16, 2021. 20-09-S, preliminary plat, 20-04-AN, annexation, and 20-05-ZC, rezone, for Linrock Subdivision. We called this one back. We were waiting on some responses from Meridian Fire District, and then I think they also contacted West Ada School District on this one. Is that correct? Yeah. And I believe all that information is in your packet. I don't know if you want to go ahead. Okay. Yes, thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The proposed application was continued to this evening in order to provide time for the Meridian Fire District to provide comments on the project. It was also brought up in the previous meeting on March 16th, 2021, that the city had not received comments from the West Ada School District, while they are generally responsive. Comments were not received by staff in response to our original agency transmittal, so staff chose to use this time to reach back out to ask if they would like to submit comments once again. Comments from the West Ada School District have been provided on page 189 of the packet, and comments from the Meridian Fire District have been provided on page 190 of the packet. I will stand for any questions.
Okay, questions for Doug. All right, this public hearing is continued, and I didn't have anybody sign up to testify. Is there anybody in the audience who didn't get a chance to sign in who wishes to testify in this matter? Okay, seeing none. I think we're at the point for deliberation from council. One thing I'll mention is that we did, since we did discover that we were getting into Meridian Fire District's area, we are working towards getting an agreement with them so that we can collect impact fees for the Meridian Fire District so that we don't miss out on that. So
that we don't collect it and give them the Q1 access.
Yeah, so what actually ended up happening there was we had to get those fees reimbursed from CUNAFIRE return them to the developer. So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to play out as far as those fees going to Meridian Fire District. Perhaps we can help with an agreement to ensure that that happens. But moving forward, I think we have got a handle on it, and we've got those locations marked now so that we don't do that again.
No, and I mean, just, I guess if we're going to just talk about this real quick, you know, I think we look at each development and the serviceability of the developments. And in this case, West Data even commented that, you know, they could even service that type of student growth, even though they're getting very close to capacity. And Fire also had commented that's within close range of their response and reliability rating of at least 80%. So there's no concern on my part there. So really, seeing those two additional comments, I think just kind of adds to the need to look at this in a positive way, in a sense. So I'm just glad they were able to comment on that.
Richard, do you have anything?
If anybody else wants to speak, I need a little more time on a map here, area zone.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a lot of echo. I didn't catch what you were.
I'm looking for something. If John or anybody else wants to go, that's fine.
Okay.
Well, I can just kind of echo what Warren said was the response from the Environment and School District to West Ada, excuse me, that was pretty prompt since it kind of got thrown at them real quick. But, you know, seeing that they're able to service it fine, and we obviously have capacity for water and sewer, right? I guess I don't see a problem with it at this point.
Well, and there was also, you know, a reference brought up, and when something like this is put out there on those two lane roads, there's always concern for traffic and safety of it. And, you know, the first time we reviewed this and looked over it, the traffic impact study and everything came back really clean as well, and there wasn't a lot of concern with how they viewed the traffic flow out there either.
Is there something in particular you were looking for?
No. Actually, I got confused between 21-02 FP and 20-9S. I'm sorry. I was trying to reconstruct here, and I see what I was doing. So I have no questions or comment.
Okay.
I don't have that on. I'll echo. Guess we're ready to go forward.
I think if everybody's done there, then we can consider closing.
Okay, then I would move we. Let's see. First, we have to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing for presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any further comment on that? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries.
Then I would move we approve case number 20-09S, preliminary plat, 20-04AN annexation, and 20-05ZC rezone.
A second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve 20-09S, preliminary plat, 20-04AN annexation, and 20-05ZC rezone. Is there any further discussion on that? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. That brings us to item B, resolution consideration for approval of the Puna Market Village fee schedule and license agreement. We neglected on the agenda to add that number. It's resolution 15-2021. And then you will also notice when we get into the packet, the first page has the correct numbering on it, but when we get into the next page, it says R13-2021. That is incorrect. It's R15-2021. So when we, if we approve that one, we would make a notation of that change because that's actually part of the packet. So. Okay. All right, so this is a licensing agreement, and Lisa Holland, you may have the floor, please.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Lisa Holland, Economic Development Director for the City of Cuna, for the record. And we have talked a number of times about the Cuna Market Village, and I'm very excited that we're getting much closer than we were in the past. A quick reminder, the Cuna Market Village is the concept we were working with the school district on at the 4th Street Gym to create a plaza of 10 by 12 units that can be used for smaller businesses. I actually included a packet to the clerk's office that didn't get in your packet, but I'm going to pass this out to you as just kind of a refresher of what the Market Village is. So give me just a second, and I'll pass these out.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, it's got color, too.
Thank you.
So while I have the floor, a couple of things that we're doing with this Market Village. To save as much money as we can, we decided to work with the school district on actually constructing these units ourselves. We modeled after a program that Idaho State University has done in several parts of the state called the Construction Combine. And on May 6th and 7th, we are partnering with, we have a number of sponsors that have come in to help us with this. We've gotten over $20,000 in sponsorships, and Home Depot is also considering a grant request for us right now to help cover the cost of materials. But after we spent some time evaluating how much it's going to take to create the Market Village, pay for the infrastructure site improvements, maintain operations, Chris, Bobby, and myself put together kind of a fee sheet of what we think covers those costs for us to maintain the village moving forward, and that's what's before you tonight. So thanks to Mayor Steer for noting that the resolution number should be R15-2021 in the packet and also on the exhibit that's on page 144 of your packet. We propose that the booth prices would be $290 per month for the season, and right now the season is proposed to run from the beginning of June through the end of September, so it'd be a four-month season. And we will also do a preview day, May 22nd, but we wouldn't charge vendors for that day. It would just be part of another event that's happening with the city, and we thought that would be a nice way to introduce the Market Village to the community. We will have the season run on Fridays from 4 to 8, Saturdays 11 to 8, Sundays 11 to 4, and Sundays would be optional for the vendors in case they wanted to opt out for religious or other reasons. And that's kind of the base of the price, and we would also have a food truck price, $25 per day or $50 for a three-day weekend, payable in advance. And then there's a couple of additional costs for things like if there's additional appliances that they need to have in there, or things that would put an excess on the power that we're supplying to each unit. I'm going to pause there to see if there's any questions.
Mayor, if I could have the floor. Lisa, the $290 per month does not include the electricity then? The electricity would be an additional. And if you had a daily date, a rate, it would $50 in addition to the $25 per day?
Councilmember Cardoza, thanks for the question. Lisa Holland again for the record. So the $290 a month is actually including electricity for the season for the Market Village units, the 10 by 12s. Okay. The additional electricity charge would just be if they had something beyond basic electrical. So if they came in and they wanted to have a cooler in place or they wanted to have a freezer, we would charge $50 per extra appliance just to help cover the extra power cost. And the daily rate that's proposed below is so that after the season is done, if we decide to repurpose the Market Village for special events like Halloween, or you wanted to have something for Christmas, or you wanted to have New Year's, Thanksgiving, different kinds of markets, if we were going to use them for temporary uses, that's where we propose the $25 per day so we could have some flexibility in the future.
But then would there be a $50 also for the electricity in addition to the $25 on seasonal use?
I don't believe that I believe that $25 per day was just the inclusive rate, including the electricity, since it's already in there.
Okay.
For the special events.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks, Lisa.
Okay. Anything further for Lisa? All right. This is a public hearing, and we didn't have anybody sign up to testify in this matter. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify in this matter that didn't get a chance to sign in? All right, seeing none. I guess we are at any further questions or comments on... I know Lisa's put a lot of time and effort in this, and the interesting thing is now that we're down to D-Day on this project, right? She's been inundated with companies coming for site visits and really exciting stuff. So we're making Lisa run constantly here. So I appreciate all you're doing on this. I went to Home Depot with her to meet with those folks, and that was actually a good experience. It was fun to see their excitement in being able to help with a project like this, and it's going to be a really good thing to get the kids out to show them construction things and working through the school district with this. So there's a lot of benefits beyond just having a place for people to open a small business and bring some things to the city for people to do during the day. And overall, there's so many good things that are encompassed within this project that it's been amazing to watch it come together. So thank you, Lisa, for all your work on that and everybody else that's been helping, too.
Mayor, I have another question for Lisa, if I may. Could you explain the $50 fine per day for non-attendance?
Councilmember Cardoza, we actually started the conversation about how we should charge rates based off of what other market villages around the country have done. So we modeled ours after the Tiennesta Market Village, and that was a clause that they had in theirs, which we actually thought was good, because if we have a market village and half the vendors decide not to be open, then it makes it tough to make it marketable for the other vendors. And so our hope is that everybody stays open during the mandatory days of the season, but we understand that things come up and that there might be, you know, if they want to participate in the flea market once a month, they have that ability to still maybe be open for part of the time, but not have to stress about not being open all days of the season if they needed to have a break for a couple days in there. So that's really just a clause so that if they don't, they can have basically 5 days during the season that they're not open. And if they're not able to be open, they would pay for basically that vacancy because it would cause challenges to some of the other vendors that they were closed.
So in addition to $290 per month, there would be a penalty if you don't open up? Okay.
Unless you tell me otherwise. We could certainly strike that if it's something that the council is concerned about.
That's fine. I guess I kind of looked at it. If you were to rent the building and then not show up, that prevents somebody else from using it. So that's fine. It just seems steep at $50 per day. I don't know what $290 a month is, what $30 a day to rent it, and then the penalty is greater than the rental.
Councilmember Cardoza, one other thing to keep in mind is that we're not open 5 days a week with the Market Village for the mandatory hours. If the vendors would like to be open more, we might be able to open the village longer hours, but the mandatory hours are the Friday, Saturday. Sundays are optional already. So we're only operating for 4 months of the season. They've got ability to take 5 days off of those 4 months. So it doesn't seem like a huge amount that they would miss.
Okay. One other question. With CUNA days, initially everything was held at the park, and then you start having the independents opening up along the streets and downtown. Have you taken into consideration the loss of control we would have if they start opening other locations? I don't know if we have any constitutional right to stop them, but...
Yeah. Great question, Councilmember Cardoza. I think we'll do the best we can, and this is the first time we've launched this season, so we'll probably learn from it this year and make adjustments as we need to for next season. Our hope is that this is a benefit to CUNA Days and other events that happen in the community. We're creating a community gathering space, and that's really the goal.
Okay. Not a question, but I want to compliment you on what you're doing. I think it's a good step forward for a little town like CUNA.
Good. So,
thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. All right, anything further on that?
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
I would then move to approve resolution R15-21 and move that both pages reflect that.
Okay.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve resolution R15-2021 and correct the packet to state that same number on the exhibit. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? And that motion carries. That moves us to business items. Recommendation to appoint William Howell to Park Impact Fee Committee. Bobby Withrow.
Mayor, Council, for the record, Bobby Withrow, 270 South Orchard Street. I'm coming before you tonight because I had a vacancy in our Park Impact Fee Committee. We asked for people to submit letters of interest. Mr. Howell submitted one of the letters. He is actually replacing somebody else that worked with KYSBA before. So we're still going to have the required members that we're supposed to have on there. He's active in the community, and I think he'd be a good fit. I stand for any questions.
Okay. Any questions for Bobby?
Mayor?
Yes.
Bobby, seeing the chief is next to you, do we do a background check on these volunteers since they are working with our youth?
Councilman Cardoza, that one I don't know. I think they do. KYSBA isn't a city organization, so we don't have any control of that. That's more of a private, for lack of better words, company or association. Yeah. So. Yes.
Thank you, Chief.
All right, anything further for Bobby? I think the only thing we need in this is... yes, Bill.
Bill Gigray, City Attorney, 5700 East Franklin Road, Nampa, Idaho, Suite 200. Just want to report, since regarding advisory committees for impact fees committee, of course, you have three. You have the parks, you have the police, and you have the one with the intergovernmental agreement with the CUNA Rural Fire Protection or CUNA Rural Fire District. House Bill 124, which the governor signed, changes the makeup and the advisory committee requirements starting July 1, and we'll be looking at the ordinance provisions of the city for each of these to make sure we're in compliance after July 1. I just bring it up because that subject's here. And I'm charting out all of the changes because now they will have to reside within the boundaries of the city, which is a new requirement that was never there before. It may make staffing a little harder. And in addition, we have to have two members, as we currently do, that are in the business, active business of building, real estate, or development. And then we have the two that are not. And then no employee or agent of the city working in their official capacity can serve on these boards. And so it's a little more restrictive and defined than it was before.
Which also includes elected officials, is that right?
Yes, it does.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Item B actually was put there by mistake. That's something that normally comes through on the consent agenda. But rather than muddy things up by asking to change that at the beginning of the meeting, I thought I'd just leave it there. This is a final plat, and generally we take care of those at the first of the meeting. So unless anyone has any questions, we can just do that with a simple motion to approve. So if there are questions, though, please feel free to ask. I believe they are prepared for
questions on the final plat?
No. I think that's where I get confused before. I was wondering why the final plat was there before the... that's fine.
And then I would move to approve 21-01-F2.
Second. Motion's made and seconded to approve 21-01-FP. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? That motion carries. And then item 8A, ordinances. They have asked that we table this until the April 20th meeting to do a little more research. It appears there might be a couple of things we want to look into differently on that. So we're just asking for that to be tabled. And then I think we'll decide at the next meeting if we want to begin the three readings over or if we can continue from there. So, Bill, yes.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, just a report, and there will be the request to table this. And the reason for that is speaking with Chris Engel, city clerk, again, Bill Gigray, city attorney. The issue is the implementation of this ordinance, because the way it is written, we're licensing daycare facilities as a business license, which the city has not done before. There are existing daycare facilities operating within the city limits, which are operating in accordance with a conditional use permit that has been granted, and that's been traditionally the way the city has regulated daycare facilities. If the passage of this ordinance, there needs to be a time allowed for those who are running daycares to be able to fill out an application for the business license, and then there needs to be time for the investigation of that license before they would be required under law to hold the business license. And I have proposed for Chris's review a provision that would be in what is proposed in section 3-10-1 to add language to say at any time subsequent to 120 days from the effective date of this chapter, it shall be unlawful. And the idea of the 120 days was to give existing daycare persons who are running those businesses 90 days to get their application in, and give the clerk's office 30 days and the police time to review those applications. Now, I haven't had a chance for Chris to review that and to get back. She may not be comfortable with that time frame, I don't know, but I just wanted to report that's where this is, and that's why it's been asked to be tabled.
Okay. So if we could have a motion to table.
Okay. I so move to table ordinance number 2021-6 until the April 20th.
Second. Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That is all the business we had on the agenda for tonight. I want to see. Paul, are you on the call on Zoom? How is the sound coming through on Zoom? We're getting a lot of echo in here. Is that coming through on your end also? Okay. That was my only question. Okay, thank you. That's all I needed, Paul. I appreciate it very much. All right, well, the legislature is back in session, so we'll see where that goes, and I'm sure there's more fun to come with that, so. But nothing really new to report. I haven't heard what they've done today, so we'll keep watching all that stuff. Was there any other announcements or anything council wants to?
Mayor?
Yes.
You know, my office is downtown, and I maybe this is addressed to Bob, but I see our vehicles going through town, Bob, and many of them, in fact, I think there's a new one, that has damage to the vehicles. Are our drivers being held responsible for damage to city vehicles? Good question, huh?
Councilman Cardoza, for the record, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director, 270 South Orchard. Yes, anytime there's any sort of vehicle, we have the employee, or we have the immediate supervisor take the employee to get tested, usually to St. Luke's, for, you know, the normal drug or alcohol. Other instances, I believe the truck you're talking about, it got backed into. So we are working on getting that door panel replaced. So with that being said, I don't think we've ever held an employee personally responsible for an accident.
Okay, I'll jump over if I could, Mayor. Bill, Kent, how much latitude does a city have to ignorant when a driver of a vehicle backs up into a tree or it's an accident, but can they be held accountable for the damage done, or is it something that we don't even want to touch as a city? Is this go to ICRIMP and then we relieve ourselves of the problem since insurance took care of it? Or I just think there should be some accountability to a certain degree.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Councilman Cardoza, of all the entities that I represent, I'm not aware of any of them that do that. They do exactly what Bobby has indicated that his department does, is one, if there's an incident, they report that the incident occurred and they're tested immediately to make sure that there isn't a substance abuse that might be the cause of the accident. If you have an employee who is maintaining vehicles or driving them in a reckless or, you know, unreasonable manner, then that usually is an employee issue with regards to our policy and a potential policy issue with regards to their employment, and may put them subject to some kind of sanctions, suspension, oral warning, you know, depending on the seriousness of the situation. The city is covered for those kind of events. I don't know what our deductible is. But I'm not aware of any that do. If you were going to do that, then we'd have to be looking at some kind of policy that would be pervasive of city employees that would require them to be an insurer, in a sense, of city property, which I think would cause some real issues in whether or not they'd have insurance or not, and then are you going to try to get a judgment against them if they don't pay, and then they end up with suspensions because they're not paying on a judgment? I'd say that would be an area that you really wouldn't want to go to. Now, if an employee is acting outside of the scope and course of their employment, there will be no insurance for that, and they can have individual liability for that. In other words, they took a vehicle. They were not authorized to take the vehicle. They're operating a gross and reckless manner or whatever, then there is liability, and they would have liability potentially to the city for that type of activity.
and they wouldn't probably get any insurance coverage for their action.
So I can tell you there's been one incident where we've had an employee. So if somebody wrecks a vehicle, there's damage to a vehicle, there's a write-up, and that write-up goes in the personnel file. We did have one employee that had multiple incidents of not necessarily wrecking a vehicle, but running over stuff and backing into things and losing equipment out of the back of the pickup. Several incidents like that. It came to the point where one more time and you will have to be terminated. There were no questions asked. That one more time came, and that was actually the action that was taken.
Okay.
So there is, we do make sure that we pay attention to what's going on there.
It just seems taxpayers are picking up the tab. I just want to make sure that there's accountability for the employees using that vehicle. So thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Well, I guess the only other thing is I just want to mention that the city of Cuna did lose a great man. Mayor Nelson passed away. He had been the mayor of the city for 24 years. We will be doing a resolution in honor of him. At some point in time, the family was going to have a celebration of life for him, and so those things are still to come, but we're gonna miss Mr. Nelson quite a bit. He was a longtime hero of the community, making sure the community was always in better shape than when he started, and I'm gonna miss him. I bounce things off of him quite a bit, so anyway, I just wanted to report on that, but we will do more for him as time goes on. So, anyway, that is all I have for tonight. If nobody has anything else, then meeting is adjourned. Thank you.